I was going to kiss Angelo Bandini tonight. More specifically, I was going to let him kiss me. I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought about kissing Angelo every night since I returned a year ago from the Swiss boarding school my parents threw me in. At 19, Arthur and Sophia Rossi had officially decided to introduce me to the Chicagoan society and let me have my pick of a future husband from the hundreds of eligible Italian-American men who were affiliated with the outfit. Tonight was going to kickstart a chain of events and social calls, but I already knew whom I wanted to marry. Papa and Mama had informed me that college wasn't in the cards for me. I needed to attend to the task of finding the perfect husband, seeing as I was an only child and the sole heir to the Rossi businesses. Being the first woman in my family to ever earn a degree had been a dream of mine. But I was nowhere near dumb enough to defy them. Our maid, Clara, often said, "You don't need to meet a husband, Frankie. You need to meet your parents' expectations." She wasn't wrong. I was born into a gilded cage. It was spacious, but locked nonetheless. Trying to escape it was risking death. I didn't like being a prisoner, but I imagined I'd like it much less than being 6 feet under. And so I'd never even dared to peek through the bars of my prison and see what was on the other side. My father, Arthur Rossi, was the head of the outfit. The title sounded painfully merciless for a man who'd braided my hair, taught me how to play the piano, and even shed a fierce tear at my London recital when I played the piano in front of an audience of thousands. Angelo, you guessed it, was the perfect husband in the eyes of my parents. Attractive, well-heeled, and thoroughly moneyed. His family owned every second building on University Village, and most of the properties were used by my father for his many illicit projects. I'd known Angelo since birth. We watched each other grow, the way flowers blossom. Slowly, yet fast at the same time. During luxurious summer vacations, and under the strict supervision of our relatives, made men, men who had been formally induced as full members of the mafia, and bodyguards. Angelo had 4 siblings, 2 dogs, and a smile that would melt the Italian ice cream in your palm. His father ran the accounting firm that worked with my family, and we both took the same annual Sicilian vacations in Syracuse. Over the years, I'd watched as Angelo's soft blonde curls darkened and were tamed with a trim, how his glittering ocean blue eyes became less playful and broodier, hardened by the things his father no doubt had shown and taught him. How his voice had deepened, his Italian accent sharpened, and he began to fill his slender boy frame with muscles and height and confidence. He became more mysterious and less impulsive, spoke less often, but when he did, his words liquefied my insides. Falling in love was so tragic. No wonder it made people so sad. And while I looked at Angelo as if he could melt ice cream, I wasn't the only girl who melted from his constant frown whenever he looked at me. It made me sick to think that when I went back to my all-girls Catholic school, he'd gone back to Chicago to hang out and talk and kiss other girls. But he'd always made me feel like I was the girl. He sneaked flowers into my hair, let me sip some of his wine when no one was looking, and laughed with his eyes whenever I spoke. When his younger brothers taunted me, he flicked their ears and warned them off. And every summer, he found a way to steal a moment with me and kiss the tip of my nose. "Francesca Rossi, you're even prettier than you were last summer." "You always say that." "And I always mean it."